Just a minute.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Holy mackerel, Ivan. Seriously, we've got two people on the phone at once. We have trouble getting one person on, but Max is a technical genius. He's managed to get Don Scott from FNQ and the doctor, his psychoanalyst from Sydney, Dr. Ben Fordham, who's back from furlough from Hawaii. Boys, are you both there?
G'day, boys.
That's one.
Don, you imbecile. Oh, no.
Don't tell me we've lost
Where's
Don.
Where's Don gone? Doc, we're getting Don back on the line. How are you, Doc?
Hello.
Seriously, where were you, Don, when we called you in?
FNQ.
Don.
Oh, yeah.
Same to you.
Don, could you answer immediately I speak to you, or else we think we've lost you?
It's a technical problem. Doctor, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Don. I'm back from Hawaii. I'm sorry I missed you boys while I was away. And I was a bit worried because the call came through a little bit later today than it normally does. And I started wondering, a bit like when Sam went to Top Gun Maverick and you thought he was dead. I thought, oh, what's happened to him? But I'm just glad that everyone's safe and well. How's North Queensland, Don?
No, well, I'm just in the Brisbane Valley at the source of the Brisbane River, and it was beautiful the last 2 days. Today's just like being back in Melbourne. But Johnny thought you cracked the shit. You weren't answering. Are you all right, Doc?
No, I was on holiday. Sam, you know what it's like. You go on holidays. I just throw the phone away, and I just go and enjoy myself with the family and with Jody. You know,
Don, speaking.
Good. I'm glad you're in a good mood.
Don. That's absolute nonsense. I didn't think he'd crack the shits.
You're not answering the phone. Oh, I don't know what I've done. You upset everybody. How's Rod Law going? Any news there?
Any
news on Rod Law?
Would I like to tell you the discussion I had? I would love to tell you the discussion I had yesterday, but I'm legally not allowed to. So don't go on with that. Now, Doc.
Well, no, hang on. Let me jump in and just ask a question, and I won't ask about the nature of any discussion, but who did you meet with yesterday?
Now, please, Doc, I can't talk any more about this. Can we just move on?
I don't think I'm allowed to mention what I did yesterday.
By the way, when Max does a Sam Newman impersonation, Max, I've got to tell you, mate, it is so good. It is brilliant. We need more of that, please, Max.
Now, Doc, it's very good to talk to you. We've missed you here. Now, I just want to talk a bit about Hawaii. Just shut up, Don.
Doc. Did you take the missus, Jody, the lovely Jody, her and the little nippers up to see the lava flowing out of the volcano? That would be fantastic. Did you do that over in Hawaii?
No, well, there's no lava that flows from the volcano, right? It's a volcano that erupted once, a long, long time ago, Diamond Head.
My dad.
But more importantly, what we did is we scattered my old man's ashes.
What's funny about that?
What did he say?
Yeah. We scattered my old man's ashes at
Waikiki Beach. Be a little bit more respectful.
Shut up,
no,
Don.
I call him my old man. Thanks, Don. I call him my old man, and my old man was more than happy with me calling him my old man. Thank you very much. So we went to Hawaii, my dad's favourite place in the world, and we took some of him with us, right, if I can put it that way. We took some of his ashes with us, and we kept a promise that I made to him on his deathbed. We went just off his favourite bar there, the Mai Tai bar. We took a catamaran out on the water, about 25 of us, and we scattered some of his ashes while listening to some Johnny Cash. And forever, when my kids ever go to Hawaii, they'll look up at Diamond Head, they'll look at Waikiki Beach, and know that that's where John Fordham lies.
Fantastic, yeah, Doc. That is a very fantastic good. Story. What Johnny Cash song did you play when you sprinkled your dear old dad?
Well, there was
a Ring of Fire, was it?
No. It was a very obscure one that involved some Hawaiian music. So I'll look it up while I'm talking to you and then I'll give it to you. But apparently he did a couple of songs in his time that were, you know, Hawaiian in nature. So because Dad loved Johnny Cash and because he loved Hawaii, we did a bit of both. But it was fantastic. And I'm guessing, Don, I don't want to go getting ahead of ourselves here, but have you thought that maybe, you know, when the world is unfortunately going to lose you one day, that maybe your ashes could be scattered at a show jumping ground somewhere in far north Queensland?
When I die, I don't think too many people will give a
just
fuck.
Settle down, Don.
Lord.
Settle down.
Hey, listen, talking about personalities, Fiona Byrne, where is she?
She's just walked in the door.
She has just, well, nice on cue, Don. Phoebe has just walked in. And she's about to take her place. We have Phoebe on the line. We have the doctor from Sydney, Ben Fordham. Dr. Ben, who's just told us a fantastic story about why he was in Hawaii. And Don's on the line, who's been up tampering around with his horses. And here is Phoebe. Pull the microphone over, Phoebe. And this is Phoebe Fiona Byrne.
Hello. Good morning, boys.
Hi, Fiona. Ben Fordham here. How are you, my friend?
Ben, I'm terrific. It's good to talk to you. We haven't spoken to each other for a little while.
No, it has been a while, and I've been listening to you on the podcast and loving your work, and I know you love an exclusive, so I might actually send you through right now because I've got your number in my phone. I might send you through some exclusive footage of Don Scott show jumping in far north Queensland. It's come to me from Shane Crawford, who happened to be there at the time, and Don also cooked him a meal while he was there, I think, in Don's caravan or whatever vehicle he gets around in. And it looks like something that would have been exposed at the Aged Care Royal Commission. You know, when they show terrible food that's served in nursing homes? Wait until you see this. It just looks disgusting. So if you go to your phone, Fiona, it'll be coming your way any moment now.
I'm grabbing my phone now, Ben. And hey, now Don, this sounds fabulous. So, are you having some sort of reunion up in far north Queensland? That's where did you bump into Shane?
The hell's Shane doing up there?
I just finished a round of show jumping, and I was back at the stable, and there's, you know, in this big stable complex at Gatton. And I thought, who's this little cretin hanging around at the end of the thing? He's just standing there unannounced. And I went around the business. I looked at him a second time, and shit, that's Shane Crawford. He's driven all the way from wherever he's living near the border, and he's driven out to say hello, which was really nice of him. He made me clean up my trailer. It was like a big side, but now I'm taking real care. And he helped me with the horses, and he was terrific company.
Now, Doc, with the video that Shane sent you...
Oh, that went through to the keeper, Johnny. You didn't even want to take that anywhere.
What would you like me? Do you want me to expand on that, Don? You've just said I was just going to ask the doc a question about you, Don.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah. the video that Shane Crawford sent you, Doc, did you see? Don has this amazing capacity when he rides a horse to ride as though he's got a bottle stuck up his ass. He has the tunic and the tails and the boots, and he sits up there like, honestly, like he's Poppy on a stick. What did you make of his style?
Well, I thought his style was absolutely befitting of a man of his stature, and it's also something that you would expect when someone is involved in a sport like show jumping. You're not going to want someone kind of leaning over the horse like they'd be leaning over the table if they were having a three-piece feed at the McDonald's or at KFC. I mean, he looks like a bloke who's on his way to the Olympic Games. He looks fantastic. And if you just look at the meal that he cooked, I mean, I think that's the real concern.
Fiona's I've just got it.
I've got it. Thank you,
so,
Ben.
So, Fiona, just explain, how would you describe, why don't you use your best description to give people an understanding of what the meal looked like that Don cooked for Shane Crawford in his caravan.
Now I know this is not great radio, but I'm just showing the boys the meal at the moment. Look, let's be honest. It looks
we get better at the mine site.
Yeah, it looks somewhat unappetizing, I have to say. It's sort of dry and dull
and bland and colourless.
And stale.
There's not one green thing on it. There's various shades of yellow and brown on there. Not one piece of greenness, not nothing. And served unbelievably badly. Presentation is not Don's long suit. And to feed that to someone who's a guest is criminal.
Did he cook it?
It's the kind of meal that you usually get when you've received 16 years over a murder charge. That's what they serve. That's what they serve at most prisons around some of the dangerous, sections of jails in Australia. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. But Don, it obviously tasted good, did it? Did he come back for another feed on the next night or not?
He came back for dessert.
What did you have for dessert?
Hidden fruit.
Straight from the tin.
So, Don, we're not going to see you on Celebrity MasterChef anytime soon, by the look of that.
He's not a celebrity.
Now, doctor, I've got a cause for you.
Do we really want to go here? I'm more interested in talking to Fiona.
I drove from Burke to Oree on my trip. I could be putting a
honestly
to Walgett and Brisbane. Whatever it's called.
I just don't know whether I can deal with this at the moment. Don, I think we're better off talking about that when you're back on deck. When are you back at You Can't Be Serious headquarters? When are we going to see you back at HQ?
He's been sacked.
No, he hasn't been sacked.
What hey, listen, let me ask Fiona something. Fiona, I've got a question for you, right?
Yep.
You've heard Max do his Sam Newman impersonation, right? You've heard that?
Yes, I have.
It's very, very good. Here's an idea. Now, I don't want to take away from this podcast because it's incredibly successful and has a huge following. But what about a podcast, a father and son podcast, right? Sam Newman, Max Newman, and it's a bit of a generational thing where they discuss some of the issues in life and relationships and pop culture and trends and things like that. When I hear the two of them, I mean, you can't tell them apart when Max is doing Sam. So that would be the only challenge. They both sound like Sam Newman. But do you reckon there's something in that? You know, that the Newman boys, father and son?
I think you're onto something, Ben. And sitting with the two of them for the past few weeks has actually been really terrific because you're strangely alike, boys. You really are. Strangely alike.
Can you get those going and everything?
Oh, my heavens.
I get you.
I think you're onto something, Ben.
I think the Newman boys are going to have a get-together, aren't they, at Bribey Island?
No, we've already...
Good on you, Don.
We've already done that, Don. We've already done a segment because Phoebe was late and she did indicate that she wouldn't be here at a certain time. So we started and we've already done a segment and we've covered sport and shout-outs, Doc. We did all the shout-outs against
No, I've got to take issue with you over this because I've been hearing you on the podcast saying that the doc doesn't want us doing shout outs.
Yes.
That's never what I said. What I said to you is
no one's interested in them.
No, I never said that either, right? You've completely verbaled me on that one. What I said is you save the shout outs till later in the podcast, right? Because it's like a newspaper. Now Fiona knows this better than anyone as a newspaper journalist. If you put the letters to the editor on the front page, people would be presuming that you don't really have any good news that you want to share with people, right? That's why you save the letters to the editor
for later on
in the podcast, right? So you've got to kick off with a few issues, with a few stories, and then you can weave in some of the shout-outs. It's when you kick off with the shout-out that as a listener... You might be forgiven for thinking, hang on a moment, they've got nothing to say this week.
Doc, we are cognizant of your directions and we have stuck to them religiously, except today, when there was only Ivan and I here, we thought we'd get the shout-outs out of the way because we didn't want to canvass some stories that Fiona might be interested in. We deliberately held this one about the Kyoto Prefectural University of Medicine, who said they did a study on if the bigger nose that you have, the bigger penis you have. We thought we would ask Fiona. That is a study a university has done.
What are you going to ask Fiona?
Well, who would commission a study on that, and what is the relevance of that? That's my point.
Well, hang on. How do we know that Fiona has consented to talking about people's schnozzes and people's schlongs?
Because we would discuss it, I would discuss it with Ivan, but to preclude a discussion with Fiona would seem sexist. So I was going to bring this up.
Ben, help me, please. Don, help me.
I don't know why you don't talk about it. Why don't you just talk about it? You're the biggest cock in this room.
Oh, my God. Max. Okay, we're going to beep you, Max.
Prefectural University of Medicine in Kyoto. Who would commission that study? That's all I'm asking you.
But it stands to reason. It stands really? To reason that if part of your body is larger than the person who's next to you, then chances are that other parts of your body would be larger than the person who's next to you. That stands to reason. If you've got a bigger head, chances are you're going to have a bigger foot. And if you've got a bigger kneecap, chances are you're going to have a bigger elbow, right?
Just made that up, Doc.
I have no idea about that.
Correct.
You have just made that up. That I was thinking that you actually are a qualified doctor. You've just completely made that up. I know a bloke. I won't mention his name. I know a bloke who's 5'4", and he has a hooter that if he stands downwind, it'll turn into a horn. And when he breathes in, he sucks his underpants into his chest.
Oh, he's talking about noses.
And I'm telling you, I've seen him in the showers, and he hasn't got a large member.
Yeah, well,
it's
look, can I just change the
completely
subject?
Nebulous study.
Yes, change the subject.
All right, let me change the subject for one moment, and I want everyone's take on this. The rugby game over the weekend, it was a game of rugby union, which I know a lot of people listening to this podcast do not give a flying, you know, what about, because it's not AFL.
It was fantastic.
But Australia was playing England over the weekend, and a rugby fan, an Australian rugby fan, singled out the England coach, Eddie Jones, and called him a traitor. And Eddie Jones blew up because Eddie Jones is an Aussie, but he's coaching England. Now, I called this bloke an idiot for saying that to Eddie Jones, and it's now been revealed that he, in fact, works for Channel 9. He's a sales representative who works for Channel 9.
Hang on, Doc. Are we right? Is it Channel 9 or Channel 7?
No, he works for Channel 9. Yeah, he works for Channel 9, right? So basically, I called him an idiot before I realised I knew who he was and that he worked for the same organisation as me. So then I called him an idiot again yesterday because I thought, well, I've got to make sure that I hold the line and I don't all of a sudden change my tune because I know that I know the bloke.
You doubled down.
But then today, get this, today Rugby Australia is talking about banning him from going to the rugby for 5 years because he called someone a traitor. Now, are we going to end up in a situation where you've got the language police going around the MCG or Marvel Stadium or any other stadium in Australia telling people what they can and can't say? We know you can't say things about race or sexuality or people's wives or people's children. But when it comes to calling someone a traitor, even though I think the bloke who said it was an idiot, is that really something that warrants a 5-year ban from going and watching sport? Sam?
No, it's not, but it's a pretty stupid thing to say to a bloke, isn't it? I mean, treachery is a pretty serious thing if you're a traitor.
Yeah.
That is punishable by death in America. Do you know that? Do you know treachery is punishable by death in America? If you're a traitor,
if you
undermine the country of your origin or undermine your country, that's punishable by death.
Yeah, which is, I can understand why Eddie Jones didn't like it when this bloke said it to him, but you can't have a situation, can you? And Don, you give me your take on this, where we get to the point of saying to people, all right, if you yell out, you're a traitor, you're going to be banned for 5 years, because there, where do you stop? Can you call someone a coward? Can you call someone a scumbag? Can you call someone a dog? Are we going to have a list of words up on the big screen that you are not allowed to use? And if you use them, then you're expelled for 5 years? Don, what do we do here?
Well, first off, I'm an admirer of Eddie Jones because I watched the rugby union. He was sacked when he was coach of Australia and didn't have the cattle. Australia's just no good at rugby league. Rugby union. But then again, I Scottish think it's free for all. When you go to the football office, shocking things have been said to me over the fence, but you don't worry about it. Just keep on going. I think Eddie might be a little bit too sensitive.
Yeah.
Well, what about Ange Costa? What's his name?
Postecoglou.
Postecoglou.
Who left coaching the Australian soccer team and went over and got the Scottish soccer team.
He went to Japan first.
He won them a premiership over there. What's the,
he did it well in Japan.
Celtic United.
Who cares if he went to Japan first, Don? Who cares?
Well, he coached.
You've lost the plot.
He coached the Socceroos, went over and got Celtic United their first premiership for a long time. You wouldn't call him a traitor, would you? He was just following the money.
It's professional sport, and this is the way it works. You've got to be free to travel around the place and to take whatever work you've got, and just say you're a Hawthorn man, for example, and you want to play for Hawthorn. If Hawthorn don't want you playing for them, you've got to be free to go, okay, I'm going to go and play for Melbourne or I'm going to go and play for Collingwood.
What about a professional golfer?
A lot of times my sexuality was questioned over the fence. I had to cop it.
Yeah, I questioned it, Don. I started it.
I still question it.
What?
That was on the ground.
Yes, that's right. I've questioned it on and off the ground.
Ben, can I just ask?
And am still doing it.
Sorry, Ben, can I just ask, what was actually happening with that game the other night? Because wasn't another person banned for getting onto the roof of the...
Yeah, a bloke...
O'Reilly stand,
Fiona,
yes.
A bloke climbed up on top of the scoreboard and then got on top of the O'Reilly stand. This is at the SCG, and then he needed to relieve himself while he was up there, so he started urinating off the top of the stadium.
Okay, so, what is going on? What?
Yeah, it's a Sydney thing.
Well, look, I mean, my first question was, where's Don Scott? And then we found out Don was in far north Queensland, and Shane Crawford confirmed that, so we then had to move on to other suspects. It was not Don Scott, and the other bloke has now been banned for life, which I get because... You know, he's put himself on top of a grandstand roof and he's urinating from it, so fair enough.
Look, there's a lot wrong with that question.
Between that,
yeah, there's a lot wrong with
calling
that
sentence. Someone at home.
Well,
Hey, Ben, can I ask you a question?
No, I don't know.
I was watching with interest, and it was a sensational game, and it received a lot of accolades. The State of Origin last Wednesday night. And when are we going to see? There's not too many Caucasians playing this game. What's happening?
You what?
Yeah, no, because the Islanders are big, strong men, and they have taken the competition by storm because they're fantastic at it, and that was one of the best sporting contests you'd see of any sport ever.
Yeah, well, I've never heard so much sanity out of Sam Newman. Sam's entirely right, Don. I mean, the story there is you've got a heap of players who've come to Australia from the Pacific region who are absolute superstars, and it's the best man on the field who gets to play and the best man on the field who wins.
Okay, so what are the rules for State of Origin in rugby? Is it where you're born or where you're...
No, what it is, it's... In rugby league, it's where you played your first professional game. So that's what it is. It gets a little bit blurry when it comes to people coming from other countries. But if you've come from, say, New Zealand or Samoa or Tonga, and then you come to Australia, it's where you played your first game, and therefore that's counted as your area of origin, okay, therefore state of origin.
What happens, Ben, when they play an international game?
Well, then they play for the country that they came from.
Where they were born.
Well said, Doc.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
What happens if they play
in
Victoria?
So you can play, for example, you can play for another country, but you can also represent Queensland or New South Wales. It is a little bit of a grey area, but you know what? Don't get bogged down in that. What we saw last Wednesday night had some of my mates from Melbourne sending me messages saying, mate, the AFL really needs to have a look at itself at the moment because there's no way in the world that we can produce a quality game and spectacle like you guys just did for the last couple of hours.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable, and people underestimate how good athletes those players are. The big Islanders, no matter who, they are extraordinary athletes, can run even time almost for 100 metres. They can't quite, but they have strength and power, and they are fantastic.
Yeah, but when you get up here to Queensland, you actually get out in the outback. You can actually, they're just mad. They consider themselves, I think they've got a chip on their shoulder, and that's why they perform to the way they do, because they were certainly undermanned compared to New South Wales, but they just played on emotion. But in Queensland,
gee,
it's just unbelievable. I was at a place called Emerald, and they're doing which is in the centre of Queensland. Their shops are done up with maroon.
And?
What's your point?
And that's how,
so
that's
they
how
should.
Involved. Like, it's in the middle of nowhere.
Emerald. Yeah, no, what? Mate, you've tapped into something, right? Because the reason Queenslanders, and people in New South Wales hate hearing this, right? But the reason they're just a little bit better than we are at State of Origin is because if you live in Sydney, you've got Sydney Harbour, you've got Bondi Beach. There are many, many distractions here. In Queensland, you've got rugby league, you've got the Maroons. They live it, they breathe it. And even though Andrew Johns, who's a New South Wales bloke, hates people saying this, because he says, look, we bleed blue just as much as they bleed maroon. There's something different about Queenslanders, mate. They're a little bit tougher, a little bit like New Zealand. When they take on Australia in rugby union, they're just a little bit tougher, and it means a little bit more to them than it does New South Wales in the State of Origin.
Hang on, what are you talking about? Australia taking on New Zealand in rugby union?
Yeah, well, what I mean is, when you see the All Blacks play the Wallabies, right? When you see the All Blacks play the Wallabies in rugby union, the All Blacks always look like it means that little bit more to them. When you see Queensland play New South Wales in Origin, Queensland always look like it means that little bit more to them. That's what I'm saying.
New Zealand's the best rugby team in the world in union.
Tell Ireland.
Can you drop off the edge of the earth?
By Ireland, I watched that game. I know, but that's a one-off.
Yeah, I know,
what's
I know.
Going on?
Now, listen, Fiona, I just want to end on this, if I can, with Fiona, and then I'm going to have to leave you guys because I've got a family I've got to get to. Now, Fiona.
Yes, Ben.
Sam has revealed just prior to your arrival that he had a secret meeting yesterday that he's not allowed to talk about. Now, when you tell someone like Fiona Byrne that you've attended a secret meeting that you are not allowed to talk about, that is going to have her radar working in overdrive. I would ask Sam just to shed a little bit more light on that so that we have a bit more of an understanding about what this meeting was about, maybe. You don't need to tell us who it was with, but what was it about, Sam, just so we have a better understanding?
I don't have to tell you who it was with. I am not permitted to speak about
it. But you can tell us who it's with, Johnny, or who's bringing the action.
Are you in trouble?
Did you say bringing the action, Don? I never mentioned anything about bringing action.
I mentioned action.
Well,
is it legal action?
Legal stuff going on, isn't there?
Is it an exercise app that you're taking
have
part in?
Have a listen to Don throw me under the bus. Shut the fuck up, Don. I'm told you. I'm not going on with this because legal... Doc.
Sam, can we read between the lines? Have you been instructed by lawyers not to make any further comment?
I've been instructed myself not to make any comment because it's not... I legally can't speak about it. Now, Manchester...
Would you call it a lover's pit?
negative.
Manchester...
Well, when will we find out about it, Johnny?
We want to know. What's happening?
When it becomes public, you'll find out about it. But it's not.
Well, we can let it go now.
It's not in the public. It's not in the public domain. It's not allowed to be. Now, Doc, before you go, you must be delighted that the Pacific Explorer has just berthed in Sydney and unloaded 3,000 COVID victims into the state again. This is where it all started 2 years ago.
Well, do you know how many times I said the word coronavirus on my radio show this morning? Zero.
Good on
and that's
Doc.
Just the way I like it. Beautiful. I'm not interested. Don't care. I love all of you. And Fiona, if you find out what the secret meeting was about, please text me ASAP, okay?
I'll text you, Ben. No
Ben,
dramas.
I've got your number. You know I'll be in touch.
Can I ask you just a quick question?
I love
question?
You all.
Can I ask a quick question? Don, are you saying goodbye when we say goodbye to Dr. Fordy?
Yeah, goodbye. Give me
all right, then I've got one last question for the both of you just before we go. So Dad was talking before
quickly,
about noses,
mate.
Yes, about noses and members. So I've got a question for you. What has a small member and hangs upside down?
John Newman.
No, it's a bat, Don. But I put this to you. What has a large member and hangs up?
Oh.
I'm going to have to...
I think we're working well.
No. the boy's a damn idiot. I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to fucking take him outside and give him a good thrashing.
Give him a good beating.
Right. Thank you, boys. All the best.
Yeah, I hung up on them.
Hung up. That was the joke.
That was the whole joke, you muppet.
All right. Hit the button, boss.
Hang on. Hang on a minute there. Hang on a minute. Fiona, Sign off. Do we want to sign off?
Yeah, we want to sign off.
Do we? All right. Well, we've got plenty of things to speak about which we've held over. So I'm... Fuck, do I know where that's got us? Righto, here we go. What am I doing? I'm pressing this.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because...